Hello, neighbors. This is Rebecca from Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, owner at the Polynesian, and you're listening to my DVC Points podcast.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed, your fast passes are booked, pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 122 of the My DVC Points podcast. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at DVCResaleMarket.com. They are the world's leader in DVC resales. I recently listed a contract with them and had a full price offer within 6 business hours. I think we ended up inking the deal at about 11 o'clock at night. And before 11 a.m. the next morning, I had a full price offer on the table. DVCResaleMarket.com, they are the world's leader in DVC resales. Let them know you heard about them here on the My DVC Points podcast. In today's episode, we're talking with Josh Kennedy. And I name this episode Pixie Dust and Room Upgrades because room upgrades are extremely rare unicorns in DVC. You buy points, you book a room, they have very, very, very tight inventory, and there's usually no place to move you around to. However, in today's show, Josh tells us some of the times when he's been upgraded. It's a very rare thing. Enjoy it if you happen to get it. But let me just please set expectations that it's a rare unicorn and it never happens. But we're going to tune into Josh's story and hear how it happened for him. I'd like to welcome to the show today, Josh Kennedy. Josh, how you doing today?
Good, man. Good.
Josh, how long have you been a member and where's your home resorts?
We bought into DVC in 2017, and our home resort is Saratoga Springs.
Has add-on-itis ever hit?
Yeah, it did, Chad. I have a cure for add-on-itis, though. It's called my wife.
I don't think you can share that cure, though, Josh.
she knows, man. Yeah, I look at DVC listings all the time. I'm just waiting on the right situation to add on some more points. But yeah, we definitely don't have enough. It's never enough points when you're a DVC member, I don't think.
How did you end up picking Saratoga as your home resort in 2017? What was that story like?
I'll be honest with you. A trip that we took in 2016, I went to a DVC preview, and they were selling the Poly at that time. And I was looking at buying, I think, 155, 60 points at the Poly, which would have got us one room for the week we normally go when the kids get out of school. And the price just scared me off because I think it was maybe, I don't remember what the points were, maybe 140 or 45 a point at that time. So I came home, did research, called a bunch of agents, called DVC a bunch of times asking questions and listening to shows and things on the resale market. And I found a Saratoga contract, a 200-point contract that was about half that price. That's how we jumped into it. I talked with Miss Jody Gross at DVC Resale Market, and she helped me buy my first contract. It was almost seamless. I don't remember exactly what they were asking for. I offered a couple dollars less than what they were wanting. She helped me get in the right area with my offer, and people accepted it. And a couple months later, we were DVC members.
Awesome. Jody's become a good friend of mine through the show, and she's done a couple of the market updates with us. So I really like working with her, and it's glad to hear that you had a great experience as well.
The only thing, you know, that I messed up, but it worked out fine because I just had no idea what I was doing. I knew I wanted the blue card, so I bought a 200-point contract from DVC Resale, and I bought a 50-point direct contract at that point because all I had to have was 25, I think, to get the blue card when I bought in. But I wanted 250 points is what I had in my mind. I didn't know about getting the same use years. And when we did the resale, when we bought the direct contract, we had something just a little different. And I thought it was going to make us have to have 2 memberships. But DVC worked with us and let us change theirs before it was finalized to what the resale market had. So it all went great, but I got a little impatient. And as soon as my DVC Resale passed the right of first refusal, I went ahead and bought my direct points.
Got it. And that's pretty close to the story that I had as well. As soon as I got past Rofer, that's when I started coming back in and shopping for what I was going to pick up for direct. Because I hadn't closed on them yet, they had me buy 50 as opposed to 25 as a full member where you could just add on the 25.
Yeah, it's been great for us, though. I can't be more happy with what we have bought and what we've done. The main reason I bought Saratoga was the price per point was very good. And also the annual dues were cheaper than most everywhere else. So I bought it because it was economical.
Yeah, that's a really good thing to point out as well, because sometimes you buy to get an 11-month window. Sometimes you look at this and just go, man, DVC is awesome, and there's a bunch of cool resorts, and I'm going to try them all out at the 7-month mark, so why do I want to pay through the nose for a premium resort? Let me just go grab some Saratoga or even some Poly now is getting down into that range to look at this and go, I'm just going to use this as a network contract.
For us, we don't have any particular week that we want to go the week of Christmas every year or the week of Thanksgiving or the week of Easter. We go whenever we can. So for us, that 11-month window isn't as important. And we don't care where we stay because every resort I've stayed at, I've enjoyed something about it. So it absolutely, if we end up at Saratoga or Old Key West, man, that's fine with me.
Yeah, well, Jody did a great job helping you pick that resort then, because it sounds like your decision perfectly lined up with your values. Now, speaking of staying at all the resorts, where all have you stayed at so far?
We have stayed at every resort at Disney World except the New Riviera, the Beach Club, and we have not stayed at the Copper Creek side of Wilderness Lodge. And then we haven't stayed at Alani, Hilton Head, or Vero Beach. Okay. But we have stayed at the Grand California. Yeah, that place is amazing. We got lucky in a week stay in a one bedroom out there last June. And man, that is an amazing place.
That is living, is it not? Did you happen to have a theme park view room there when you were there?
We got a one bedroom and we were, and I can't remember the name of the ride. It was it Goofy's?
Sky School.
Sky School. We were right beside it. Every time someone screamed going around that big turn that looks like you're about to shoot off into the park, you could hear them screaming. I think we're on the fifth floor. We were on the same floor as the DVC observation deck. It was right next to our room.
So you probably had an awesome view of Pixar Pier then.
Man, we did. We could see the show at night, the water show, right from our room. Man, it was awesome. And I'll be honest with you, when I think of staying at Disney World is so big, and I love so much about it. I think everybody that would listen to this podcast, they're not listening if they don't love Disney World. But the intimacy of Disneyland and how close everything was, man, it is so cool to stay at the Grand California and when you can basically walk downstairs and walk into a theme park. And that's an amazing experience.
Now, did you guys do the bathing suit trick where you're in the pool wearing your bathing suits and then you hop out into the park and hop on Grizzly River Rapids ride?
You know, that would have been a smart thing to do. I did not give that any thought. We did ride the Grizzly Rapids ride and we really enjoyed it. Oh, but we got pretty wet, so it would have been smart to wear our bathing suits. That's for sure. If we ever go back, I'll have to make sure we use that trick.
Yeah, I recommend that to everybody. Just from the pool, you just pop over. It's right there at the entrance. And ride the ride, get wet in your bathing suit, and pop back and a little more pool time.
Well, I tell you what's really cool about that place for any DVC members that haven't had a chance to stay out there yet or see that park. My wife and I were laying in bed talking one morning like at 7:45, and the Pixar Pier opened at 8. And I looked at her and I said, hey, why don't we go ride rides? The kids are still asleep. Let's get up and we'll go hit the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Incredicoaster, and Toy Story Mania before the kids wake up. And my wife said, baby, are you sure we can do that? And I said, yeah, what's it matter? Let's just go. And from 7:45, getting up and getting dressed, and by 8 o'clock, we were in the middle of Pixar Pier, heading to our first ride. And until you can experience a theme park in that capacity, man, there's really nothing like that. There's nothing like that experience at Disney World, even if you stay at Bay Lake or Grand Floridian.
No, there's nothing like it, because then you still got a 10-minute walk into the park, or you got to wait for a monorail there at Grand Flow. Maybe you'll have a 10-15 minute walk when they get that walking path built, but it's still not the same.
No, it's not. We rode 3 or 4 rides, went out to downtown Disney, picked up beignets, and was back in the room waking the kids up with breakfast by 10 o'clock. That was pretty cool.
And see what you guys missed from sleeping in?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really awesome.
Well, what all's on your DVC bucket list then? We know the resorts that you haven't done. Do you have a goal to hit every place or?
Oh, yeah. I definitely want to stay everywhere. We really want to try Alani. That's probably the top of the bucket list. In all honesty, the year we went to the Grand Californian, we were going to Alani that year. That was the plan. I was sitting at the 7-month window, waiting to book a room at Alani, waiting to buy our airplane tickets, and that's where we were going. And then the Grand Californian, I'm glancing through everything, and I see a week available there, and I booked it real quick, and I called my wife, and I said, hey, I know I said we would go to Hawaii this year, but the Grand Californian is available, and I booked it. I think we will always be able to get a room at Alani at some point in time. The way I understand it, I never see or hear anybody getting rooms at the Grand Californian unless you own there. We may should take this opportunity while we have it.
You won the lotto. You just had to cash in the ticket.
Yeah, pretty much so. Alani's our next big non-Disney World planned trip that we want to try and do. We want to go to Alani.
Yeah, I am right now. I'm in the 11-month window, but I don't own Alani. So I'm just waiting till that 7-month window to our June of 2021 listener meetup. And so I'm like hovering over plane tickets to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get it somehow. One way or the other, I'm going to make that happen.
Yeah, as long as you can travel again.
So before joining DVC, how did you?
The first time we did Disney as a family, I think it was in 2012. Once my kids got a little older, we actually went in with another couple and we rented a treehouse villa for a week. That was our first taste of really staying on Disney property. We enjoyed that trip. But I'll be honest with you, because of the treehouses far away from the bus stations, it's kind of tucked off in a corner by itself. And we probably were too embarrassed to ask for any help. We would cut across the golf course and walk to the nearest bus station that we knew of. In the next few years that we went, we would just rent a VRBO. We've gone with up to 19 people in our group before when we go down there. So we'd rent 7 or 8 bedroom houses.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really economical if you got 4 or 5 families, because we would rent a house for, you know, $400 or $500 a piece per, you know, family unit. You know, that's doing Disney pretty cheap. But I got so tired of having to everybody try and hop in 1 or 2 vehicles to go. You'd pile in like circus clowns, so you didn't have to pay so many parking fees. Then somebody'd get ready to go and everybody else wouldn't be ready to go, but you had to leave because you had 1 vehicle. And during that time, Uber was just coming out, but from where I'm from, that's not something we really have a lot of accessibility to. So I wasn't very comfortable with the technology or the services. So, yeah, I never felt comfortable trying to do that. I do now. Uber is awesome. But at that point, we would just have to leave, and it just made it too hard. And then when this DVC opportunity come along and I got to run the numbers, I said, nope, we're going to Disney basically every year. This is how I want to do Disney from this point forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the tree houses, but you have to prepare that there's 1 parking spot for 9 people. And most of the times, you've got 9 people there, you don't rent that extended van that all 10 of you can fit into 1 vehicle. Okay. And so the tree houses have some challenges. They're awesome. Don't get me wrong. We love them. We will stay there again sometime, but they definitely have their own challenges.
I think we'll stay there again too. Now that we go to Disney so often, going to the parks isn't as big of a part of our experience anymore. A lot of times we might just go a few hours a day, go ride our fast passes, catch a show or grab something to eat that everybody wants to try and eat, and we'll go back to the resorts. You know, I could see for my family's vacation styles, I could see the tree houses coming into play a little more as we continue growing. Maybe when you go down there for just an after hours party and a DVC party or a Halloween party or something like that, and you may not going to do the park every day, they make more sense.
Yeah. And when your kids get a little bit older as well, to the point where, if I were to go now, my oldest is 14. She's legally allowed to enter the parks on her own, according to Disney rules. She would have no problem cutting across and hopping a bus over there at the grandstands at Saratoga and taking off to the parks. And we feel perfectly safe letting her run around the entire Disney campus by herself.
For us, we have an 18-year-old now, and that was another wonderful benefit of DVC and staying on site for us too. But it was the opposite. So my son, he's not a huge rider. He'll go in, he'll ride a couple rides that he wants to ride, make sure he gets some lunch, and then he's back off to the resort. But it's awesome with Disney transportation because no matter where we stay, I feel very comfortable that he's safe. Even when we stay at Animal Kingdom from the Magic Kingdom, it's, yeah, man, you know where the bus stop is. Text me when you get to the resort. We'll see you later.
Yeah, you got your Magic Band. You can get in.
You got the Magic Band. You got money. We have a card on there. Don't buy nothing crazy, please.
Yeah. So now, what other kind of rooms have you stayed in there?
So we've stayed in some form or fashion. We've stayed in everything. We've stayed in studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms. We've stayed in the Grand Villa at Old Key West. And other than the cabins or the bungalows, we've stayed in every type of room. Now, not at every resort, of course.
What'd you think of the Old Key West Grand Villa?
Man, it was great. It was right on the golf course. I could, you know, see people hit approach shots into the green from our balcony. Very spacious. The year we got the three-bedroom Grand Villa, there was 12 of us on that trip. But it was awesome for everybody to have their own, at least two people to a bed, no more than two people to a bed for the adults and then the kids bunking together. And it really was, it was nice to have that big full kitchen just to have room to spread out.
Yeah. I've stayed at a couple of Grand Villas. So far, my family hasn't been with me. I've been with conferences that we've used the Grand Villas down there for. They're awesome. I'm half afraid to bring my family to one of them. Okay. The pushback will be real to keep staying there.
I tell you, to be honest, Chad, my family, we went on a trip several weeks ago during the first full week everything was open after the COVID pandemic, you know, reopening. And we toured a three-bedroom at Animal Kingdom while we were goofing around the resort one day. That's my DVC life goals, is to have enough points to be able to rent one of those for 7 or 8 days a year. That's where I'd love to get to. That's maybe my life goal, is to get a cabin for 7 or 8 days. But if I got enough to get a cabin, then I can get the three-bedroom at Animal Kingdom. And, you know, man, we stayed at Jumbo. And when I tell you this, Chad, you'll think I may be joking. There was no more than 100 families at Jumbo House when we were there. I doubt it was that many. It was completely almost empty while we were there. No one was in the lobbies. You could walk in the lobby and have the whole grand lobby to yourself. There'd be 20 people in the pool, everybody staying in their family groups at different ends of the pool. It was, I hate to say it was amazing because of everything that's going on. Of course, where everything is happening, it's a horrible pandemic that we're facing and people are facing, but that was just an amazing resort to have such free reign of.
It sounds to me like you had an amazing opportunity here just due to the low volume. And you might have had more animals out there on the safari than there were guests in the resort, okay?
Oh, yeah. And I booked at Jumbo because I got the ever-coveted two-bedroom value accommodation. But we got upgraded to a Savannah view. DVC really spoils me with pixie dust. I'm not going to lie. I hear people fuss about DVC, and I don't know if they're anticipating too much or not, but man, I feel like I get pixie dusted every time we go. I haven't had any room where I just was upset about it.
The last time I was at Animal Kingdom, Kidani, we had a two-bedroom Savannah view that was on the backside, and it was right next door to the three bedrooms that used to be Savannah view that they downgraded. And it really wasn't as magical as being on the inside. I'm not going to lie. Okay.
Yeah. My wife says I'm a pretty hard person. I'm a very meticulous person with most things, except for things I love, according to my wife. So really the room we were in was right by where the workers do the laundry. If you look dead left, you can see where they were doing the laundry and everything on the bottom floor. But all I could see was the giraffes and zebras. Yeah, I just didn't look to the left. So it was fine for me.
Yeah, yeah. And as long as you're happy, and you can't beat coming from the value room to the Savannah view room.
No. And honestly, if anybody hadn't stayed at Animal Kingdom, I was leery of the Animal Kingdom a little bit. I had talked with a guy that was a member, and you know, he's like, "Hey, Animal Kingdom, you know, during the summer you can smell the animals." They didn't enjoy staying there, so I was a little leery of how I would feel about the Savannah smell to go along with the view.
That's the first time I ever heard that.
Didn't find it true for myself at all. But again, I'm not as meticulous on things like that as other people, but I think the Animal Kingdom is my favorite resort at Disney World. I don't know where I would choose to stay more than it, to be honest, man. I think it's my favorite resort.
I got to say this. I wouldn't rank it as my favorite, but I am really proud that we have this in the network. And it is such a unique experience that you really can't get anyplace else. That it's like this little darling gem that's in the network here.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. I think that's what I like about it is because I can go and stay places that are similar to the Grand Floridian. I can go and stay places similar to Bay Lake Tower for sure.
Maybe not have the theme park view, but you can get similar accommodations. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know anywhere to stay in the continental U.S. that I'm going to have an Animal Kingdom experience.
Nope. That's what makes it so unique and why I'm so glad that it's in the network. Now, I will tell you, it is my wife's favorite resort by far. You give her a choice of where we're going to stay, there ain't no choice. It's okay. Yeah, I just have to make sure that I rotate us into Animal Kingdom every fourth, maybe fifth stay if I'm lucky. If it goes beyond four, I start to, but for really, it go. I'll be honest with you. If it goes beyond two, I start to hear about it. But
yeah. Which now I love the Wilderness Lodge too. Oh man, that's a fabulous resort. Yeah, I tell people it looks like a huge Lincoln Log cabin when you were a kid. The Lincoln Logs you played with. I love that resort. But man, I just love them all. I can just say something about every one of them. I love the Poly. I do love the Contemporary. I just like Grand Floridian. May be one of my least favorite resorts, but I still love them all.
Yeah, I've stayed there once. It was a couple's trip, so Laura and I went with some friends of mine from work that were down there, and we stayed together as a couple trips on like a Memorial Day weekend, so the kids didn't get to do it, and so that's all I hear is them complaining. So I will stay there once more with the kids, but for me, it's just not worth the points. I like the rooms better at Bay Lake Tower. I like the view better at Bay Lake Tower. And it's cheaper points.
I couldn't agree more with you. I'm not going to say we'll never stay at the Grand Floridian again, because I'm sure we might. The thing for us that was a little off-putting by it is it felt, you know what? I didn't feel like I was classy enough to be at the Grand Floridian. To be honest, me and my kids, my wife, t-shirts and shorts and headed to the park. And I really felt like at the Grand Floridian, I needed a polo with a sweater vest tied around my neck.
A lot of people feel that way. I relate with that because every time I'm in there, I feel like somebody's going to go, "Look, Martha, a peasant in a My DVC Points t-shirt and some cargo pants."
Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt. I'm like, I don't know that we're in the right place here.
I don't even Grey Poupon, okay?
You are exactly right. And that's nobody, especially no one that worked there made me feel that way at all. And really no guest did. It just...
There's an air about it. I feel it, okay? And I don't want to offend the Grand Flow owners because, you know, if that's your jam, cool. More power to you. I'm excited to hear you guys geek out about it. And I know my little girl wants to go there, and I need to get her there sooner than later so that we can still get her into the princess stuff because she's about ready to come out of that princess phase.
Once my kids are older, if they ever hit that period where they just don't want to go to Disney, maybe they aren't married yet, and that's really not their thing for a little while. If it were just my wife and I or a couple's trip, I think I would enjoy it a little bit more. And we love going there. Going at Christmas, we've been there to see the Big Gingerbread House. One of our favorite restaurants is there. We really like Narcoose. We've had a good experiences eating there. We really enjoy it. But yeah, for the points and the atmosphere, you know, man, take me over to Poly and let me hear the Polynesian music.
Give me some Ohana for dinner, okay?
That's our favorite. We're going to Ohana if we're there on vacation, unless it's closed like it was this last trip. That is going to happen for the Kennedys. We're going to Ohana.
That is the number one thing I go to grab. My kids like the breakfast there. I could not care less about the breakfast. I want the bread pudding at night. I want the meat. I want the noodles. I want the pot stickers. all of it. Bring it.
I am 100% with you. My kids and wife are 100%. We love it. Actually, we've never done Ohana for breakfast, so I can't really judge this breakfast. We always go at dinner. But we did do Kona Cafe for breakfast one morning during our last trip to get the tonga toast, and my wife and son got the macadamia and pineapple pancakes, and it was really good.
Oh, I'm telling you. I think, Polly, if you were to just compare restaurants, they are head and shoulders above the rest in terms of the best restaurants at a DVC resort.
Because, I mean, the food at Captain Cook's is good.
Captain Cook's is one of the top quick services out there, okay?
Yes, sir. You are completely right, my friend.
If I had to rank the top three quick services out there, I'd probably go Gasparilla Grill, only because it's 24/7, and it's the only one out there. Then I would probably go Captain Cook's, and then I'm going over to Roaring Fork. Those are my top three jams right there. And the Mara over at Animal Kingdom, keep it. Sanaa's awesome over at Kanani. The rest of Animal Kingdom, Jiko's pretty darn good too. I'm not going to lie if you're going to go signature.
So we're a pandemic family. We were in Disney the week it closed at spring break. We left like the Friday before it closed, the Sunday in March, whatever day that was, for COVID-19.
So you were there right before it closed and
opened it back up, man. Yeah, we closed it out and then opened it back up.
Man, that's pixie dust addicts right there now. If you're comfortable getting there, I think Disney's probably one of the safer places to be, especially in the parks where they will kick you out if you're not wearing a mask and you're not complying with the rules and you've paid $80 to $100 to get in. You're going to wear the mask if you're there. Disney Springs, I hear that's a different story now.
We visited Disney Springs. It was a lot more crowded. They didn't control the crowd quite as well at Disney Springs as they did the parks. And I did see some people without masks on, but there were cast members walking around reminding people to pull their masks back up at Disney Springs as well. It wasn't the Wild West out there by any means, but there definitely were some rule breakers along the way that you would pull it down. But I didn't see much of that at all in the parks.
That's awesome.
And the parks felt very safe because everybody pretty much wore masks. They did rows between everybody on all the rides and all that. But one of the things that impressed me, they must have bought a hand sanitizer company when all this happened, because every ride we rode, hand sanitizer when you got in line, hand sanitizer before you got on the ride, hand sanitizer when you got off the ride, hand sanitizer when you was exiting the ride. It was just hand sanitizers and hand wash stations everywhere. So it felt very safe.
It's kind of cool that they did that so that they can start to minimize the spread within the queue, because I think that's probably an area of concern there.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, Josh, what are some of your favorite Disney memories looking back at all of these trips?
Man, that's almost like asking me which one of my children are my favorite children, because you just love everything we do there. I'll tell you, the first time I went to Disney was probably 1988 or 9. My mama and one of her friends took me and her friend's little girl. We stayed off site, and I don't really remember that experience, but what I do remember is when I rode the monorail through the Contemporary, for the first time, I looked out of those glasses and I saw people eating breakfast where Chef Mickey's is now. I thought, man, that's the life. That is life goals right there. We're riding through a hotel. I thought, man, those people must be rich, man. That's just the most amazing thing. So our first stay at DVC was a 10-night stay in a 2-bedroom Bay Lake Tower. And that was just such a fun, relaxing, long Disney vacation. And we were right by the breezeway between Bay Lake and the Contemporary. So you came out right there at the gift shop and on the same level with Chef Mickey's and the quick service restaurant. And man, that was very magical to me, because that, as a 7 or 8 year old kid, that represented having made it, I guess, in my mind.
I was about ready to say, I was listening to your story. When Chris Malick was telling us about his first trip as a DVC member, it was like this feeling of success, and we finally made it to something. We finally accomplished something. Sounds like you had a little bit of the same feeling.
Oh, yeah, man. I was like George and Wheezy from the Jeffersons. I felt like I was coming on up.
He's moving on up.
Yeah, I was moving
to
on
the
up,
deluxe
man.
Villa in the sky.
Oh, that's exactly right. And even that first trip, we paid for our points was for a standard view at Bay Lake. And we ended up actually, it was a standard view, but it was, you could still see the theme park and the fireworks show from our balcony. So we were on the sixth floor then. Because we had to take the elevator down one floor to get to the bridge. But we were the two-bedroom villa. As soon as you got off the elevators, we were the first room on the left.
Probably about the best standard view room there, if I can visualize the Bay Lake map in my head. I've started to map out all of those rooms for people to create charts for it for the website. And I think that's about the best case two-bedroom standard you could get.
Yeah, because it was. I mean, from our balcony, you could see the fireworks show every night very well. You could see the monorail run through. And then you were so close to the breezeway that you just take the stairs down one flight or take the elevator down one flight and you're over to the food and to the monorail. That was an awesome room. I can't remember the room number off the top of my head now, but
awesome.
I think we were there 10 days and 9 nights. It was really an awesome experience.
Josh, seeing that you're one of the DVC members that goes a lot, what do you consider some of the hidden gems of a Disney vacation? What obscure food, attraction, or feature should another member go out of their way and try? Do you have any recommendations on this?
One, we love the water parks. A lot of people think that may be a waste when you're at Disney at the theme parks, but Typhoon Lagoon is one of our favorite places to go. So we always try to get a day at the water parks if we can. And I'll be honest with you, Chad, we enjoy trying to do something new every trip. So we try to go to a new restaurant or we try to do a different, some kind of play miniature golf. That seems crazy. And I tell you, Fantasia Gardens is a hard little miniature golf course and it's fun. We've said we were going to try fishing down there. We haven't got to that yet. I know they got horseback riding. And those are things that we do and have experienced in our normal lives. But there's a Disney version of it. It was awesome to us to have those different experiences. If you golf, Disney has some really great courses. And I played two courses this last time we were there. And I think after 4 o'clock, it was like $29. And you can't play a course like that for $29 anywhere I know of. If you enjoy golf, it's phenomenal, man. You can even rent clubs down there. And I think it was about maybe $80 or $85 a piece, something like that. But that was club rental, shoe rental, golf, the cart, some balls. That was the whole shebang. So that's really a pretty good price for that course.
That's what I've heard. And we did a golf edition here. You'll have to go back into, I believe, season 2, probably in the 50s or 60s episode range, if you guys want to go back and hear our golf show there. But Alicia was there with us for the golf show and led us through that experience.
When you talk about hidden gems at Disney, you might as well be talking about the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ride. When you go into the show part of it, there's just gems everywhere, man. There is something for everybody to do at Disney.
Yeah, that is true. No. That's why it's the ultimate family vacation. I don't care if you're into boats, if you're into golf, if you're into sports, if you're into water parks, theme parks, whatever level of food you want to have, whether it's quick service to campfire s'mores to signature dining, it's there.
Yeah, my family, it's nothing for me to go play 18 holes of golf, my son to go to the gym and hang out in the room, and my wife and daughter to hit the pool or go to the theme park. Then we all meet back up after it's over, and then we go do stuff together. And we love community. It's coloring and arts and crafts and it's stuff that you probably wouldn't care to do at home, but something about doing it in the community hall at Disney, you're like, man, yeah, hand me that color. I want to make a t-shirt. Can I make a tie-dye t-shirt, please? And it's really awesome.
For a souvenir price, it's not even a bad price, okay? Because you're getting an authentic Disney souvenir and t-shirt cheaper than you go to the shop and buy one with your AP discount or your DVC discount.
I agree with you completely. And it's just so much fun. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and she hasn't got old enough for that not to be exciting to her. We love the community halls. I hate, the only place I know of that doesn't have one, to my knowledge, is the Wilderness Lodge. And they're missing out not having one there, but the community halls are awesome.
Yeah, they've got Reunion Station and some other things there that may or may not be open, but there's a few of the resorts that don't have them. So I know Polly doesn't have one. I don't think Grand Flow has one. I know Boardwalk does. Beach Club has a half one that's gets repurposed a lot, okay? And right now it's a mini community hall. Saratoga has one, and I know Kidani has one, which would probably count for Jumbo too, because you'd just take a bus over.
Yeah, it's not a full community hall, but it's like Simba's playroom or something like that. It's a half community hall. It's got a little something for the kids, for younger kids.
Yeah, so most of them have something along those lines.
We've stayed at the Poly, but only for one night on one trip. When we stayed there, I was messing with my wife when I went to check in. I said, look, I said, I'm going to go up here and sweet talk these ladies and get us upgraded to a bungalow. And my wife and kids like, Dad, you whatever. And I said, y'all go hang out and let me stand in line. No need Nalo standing here. And when I got to the front desk, speaking with a lady, and she was checking me in, she said, sir, would it bother you if your room is having some work done to it? Could we upgrade you? And I was like, oh, I'm going to hit the jackpot and go to a bungalow. And she come back a few minutes later and she's like, sir, we're going to put you in one of the suites. It's still an upgrade, but I was a little heartbroken. I really was thinking I was going to get a bungalow for a night.
You get one of the Poly Club level suites and you bummed that you didn't get to bungalows?
I didn't know what I was talking about. That's why, Chad, is because I didn't know that there were suites at the Poly. I think we stayed in the Tunga house. And man, let me tell you, that's living. We stayed in a 2-bedroom suite, concierge level. It was just, they were bringing free room service, free breakfast, all the drinks and food you could eat. We had our three private balconies to ourselves right there on the by the pier so we could see the fireworks shows. When we got in that room, my family just said, okay, we're supposed to go to the Magic Kingdom today. We're not going to the theme park. We're going to enjoy this room for the day. So I don't really have a true experience at the Poly. We're going back in December for 4 nights and we're going to stay at the Poly. So I'm interested to have a true Poly experience because we got pixie dusted so hard that trip that it was like, man, that was just a crazy experience.
Josh, I'm going to like mail you my magic band before I go on my next trip and go, could you just hover over it or wave your hand over it for me?
I tell you, you just got to believe. You just, you know, you got to wish on the star and believe. Because that was amazing. I tell you just how uncultured we are when it comes to things like that. We walked in the room and there were just all the refrigerator was stocked with drinks. There was food all over the place. And there was a guy sitting outside of our door to concierge to help us with anything we needed. And we got in the room. We played it real cool till we got in the room and everybody just lost their minds collectively. And one of the kids ran and, you know, grabbed a drink out of the refrigerator. And I'm like, oh, don't drink that. Maybe a $5 soda. Let's wait and see. When we walked back outside, the concierge, he realized that something didn't look right. That's exactly right. And he's like, okay, so everything is, y'all can eat or drink whatever you want. He had a whole bar with champagnes and wines and stuff outside. And he's like, y'all want any of this? There's more food and drinks upstairs. Here's a menu for a late night snack. Just, you get the pot stickers. You just write down what you want. They'll deliver it at 11. Here's another menu. Tell them what time and what you want for breakfast, and they'll deliver it to your room. So that was really amazing. I woke up early the next morning excited and getting ready to go home, but just excited, wanting to spend the last few minutes there. And I drank my coffee on the balcony watching the sun come up on the lake at the Poly, and that was, man, that may be about as good as it can get from a Disney perspective.
I'm telling you, I would be having such post-Disney blues after that trip. I don't know how I could recover, okay?
I did the money factor when I was looking at DVC, and that first day we had, I went and looked rack rate room for a 2-bedroom standard view, and you might get a little bit cheaper, but just rack rate, mm-hmm. We basically, over 2/3 of our DVC purchase was covered in what we would have paid cash for that room just for that one stay.
Yeah.
So we've already well made our money up on DVC stays.
Yeah, that's why we put the rack rate in the MyDVC Points app, okay? I'm one of the only people out there I know of from a DVC perspective that puts that rack rate in there. I know of one other website out there that you can go look things up on charts and it's complex, but we actually put a calculator in there so you can start to see, hey, this day the rack rate is this.
That's an awesome feature to have, because I think that two bedroom we stayed in was like somewhere around $12,000 or $13,000 for that week. You know, we didn't pay a whole lot more than that for our points. Like I said, about 2/3 of our trip was covered on that one stay. When you get to looking a one bedroom at the Grand Californian, that's $1,000+ a night room. I could never afford nothing like that if I was having to pay the rec rate. DVC allows us to have great vacations.
I am looking at 8 nights in an Ocean View Grand Villa in Alani next June. And the rack rate on that with taxes is $32,000. Okay. Like, you can pick up a whole contract for that, especially if you go resale. So Alani is like the best value for bang for your buck compared to rack rate that we found in the calculator. But to your point, yeah, you can really come back in and make out on a contract. If you start comparing what you're going to pay for deluxe accommodations outside of DVC with DVC points, DVC looks amazing. Now, if you start to compare it to a value room, I don't think you're going to save less cash from just a cash flow perspective. But man, you're moving way up the food chain.
I think that's it in a nutshell. You're paying moderate prices for deluxe accommodations. That's the kind of the way I look at it. And yeah, could you go stay at an all-star a little cheaper? You can, but the problem for me and my family, and I'm sure a lot of DVC families, but when you start having a family as big as mine, we got four, but the California trip is the only trip I think we've ever taken just the four of us, because there's always a friend that wants to go. And now my little girl's getting old enough where it's okay, my brother takes a friend, I need a friend too. This has got to be fair. So we're taking six people practically every time we go now. So you have to get to that two bedroom or two studio room stay. Now, if I got to rent two rooms at the All-Star, I'm starting to price myself back into where DVC makes more sense.
Yep. That's it right there in a nutshell. But you're not the first person I've talked to that said they like to front end their stays with either an offsite or a cash room to just maximize the value out of their DVC points.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for us. Most of the time, we'll start our vacation on a Saturday. So I'm fine paying another $100, $150 for an offsite or maybe a value room. Or sometimes if there's at least five of us, we may have to get a moderate room to get one that'll sleep five people and pay $2 or $225. But it's worth it to me to have my full day on Saturday at Disney to pay a couple hundred extra dollars.
I agree with you 100%. Okay, Josh, so final question of the show. If Tinkerbell were to put 2,000 one-time use points into your account that you could book anything in the DVC system with guaranteed availability, how would you use these points?
Oh, I've thought about this and I actually did some calculations. My first thought was maybe 5 nights in a two-bedroom at the Grand Cal and then fly to Alani and stay 8 or 10 nights in a three-bedroom Grand Villa, and that should get you real close to that 2,000 points. But after some consideration, Chad, you know what? I think I would take those 2,000 points and book really hard to get rooms and sell those points and rent them out, because the rental price you can get from a lot of places is somewhere around $15, $16 a point. So that give me about $30,000. And there's a 350-point Saratoga in the December use year for $93 a point. So it'd be 32 and some change. I think I'd probably rent those bad boys out and get me 350 points that I could add to my portfolio for all my future stays.
Now, that's the first time I've heard that, but that's a pretty wise move there, Josh. And this gets you by your wife's add-on-itis can't buy more points thing as well, because they were pixie dusted, right? Didn't cost her anything. You pay the dues going forward.
That's the problem. It's not such a high monthly payment. It's that when you get another 300 points, you got another $3,000 or $4,000 a year worth of annual dues. Now you're paying an extra $600 or $700 a month to cover it. So I think she would allow me to have one or the other. If I can buy the points off of pixie dusted points, I think I can swing the annual dues.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, Josh.
Yeah, Chad, man, I really enjoyed it. I appreciate it. I love your show. Try to listen to it every week, man. I appreciate what you do.
Oh, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for joining us. Well, that puts another episode in the books. I'd like to thank DVC Rental Store DVC Resale Market, Monera Financial, and Incredible Vacation Homes for sponsoring Season 4 of the My DVC Points podcast. Over the last few weeks, I've had a little bit of a side project going, and it has to do with COVID and extra points. Now hear me out, if you can find a renter for your points, I'm going to encourage you to do that. If you can't find somebody and the DVC rental store just cannot help you find somebody because they're in an abundance of points right now, I'd like you to consider another option, and that would be donating your points to a cast member that more than likely just lost their job and could really use a little bit of pixie dust. Been talking about this for about a month now. So far, I've had a few hundred points come in, and we've been able to match cast members up with some stays, and I've had about $500 cash come in, so that when we hook up a cast member, we can get them a gift card to cover their meals or pay for expenses like dog sitters so that they can take a real vacation. If you've got extra points and you can't find a renter, believe you me, I want you to come back in and use DVC Rental Store. If that can't happen, please don't let those points expire. Contact me, mydvcpoints@gmail.com. Let me hook you up with a cast member so that we can book them a couple of nights staycation. We're doing this because we're an awesome community of DVC members, and these cast members has brought us so much joy in our lives. Now's a great time to come back in and just give them a warm hug and say, hey, look, the people who you've served got together and wanted to take care of you in this time of need. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hopefully you found something in today's episode that'll help you go out there and plan something magical for your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.